Let's have just a short review of what Pete's been teaching us the last probably three or four Sundays. He taught us from Genesis through Revelation, we can read where God has a purpose for the new heavens and the new earth, as I've written up there, and which will dwelleth righteousness. You will recall God chose Israel for the new earth. And we read about it in the Old Testament and also in the first seven books or epistles that Paul wrote in the New Testament. Pete's given us several characteristics of this group. On the left-hand side here, they were angels. There were miracles of all kinds with Christ's name on them. They had their laws, they had their sacrifices, and etc. In that time, they were called sheep. And they will occupy the earthly kingdom. We also learned of another group called the church. And notice what I've written up there. The church, which is his body. Paul identifies this group written in his last seven epistles. This group, Pete told us, that they were called ambassadors. There were no angels. There were no miracles with Christ's name on them. No law, but we had grace. This group, as I've written up here, will fill the new heavens, known as the heavenly kingdom. We have also learned in the last few Sundays that he taught us that not to mix these two groups up. To study the Bible correctly, you must observe who is writing and to whom it is written to. And it is all for us and all for our learning, but it is not all written to us. This morning I'd like to discuss another characteristic that Pete didn't bring out that each of these two groups have that surely does separate them one from another. Both of them are represented by a body. What is the difference between the description of a body for Israel on the left-hand side here, the group, which group included the New Testament covered by Paul in his first seven epistles? I want to compare it, or I just should use the word contrast it, to the body of the church, which we understand is shown to us by Paul in his last seven epistles of the New Testament. So for the first part of our lesson here this morning, you'll concentrate on the left-hand side of the sheet of paper that I gave you here. And then near the end, we'll jump over to the right-hand side of the paper. What is the difference between the one body of the Acts period versus the body after the Acts 28 period? Or is there any difference? I go to a church in Florida that doesn't know the difference. As I don't want to pick on the traditional people today, but they don't recognize any difference in the two bodies. Some think that even recognize there is body, period. I realize I may be speaking to the wrong group this morning here, but we need to refamiliarize ourselves with what the body is. The lesson this morning hopefully will just refresh our minds, so if you're talking to somebody and you have them and they tell you they belong to the body, you'll be able to show them the facts. Which body do you belong to? Many dispensational writings or books or pamphlets have the phrase or the title, the church of the one body. You can correct me right now or later if you want to. I don't believe that's the correct title, the church of the one body. I don't believe that's the correct phrase. The one body without the word church should be left out. You notice I don't have it here on the left-hand side. You can read your scripture when you get home. I don't think you'll find the word church over on this side. Mr. Welch wrote a book, number one, of alphabetical analysis, and he's regarding the one body of the Acts period. And I'll quote it here. He says, this group of people could be called a company, or you could call them a church. However, in all his writings of the Acts period, he never once used the term church. There was a reason he didn't, because it isn't in the scripture. Now, it is interesting, though, when Mr. Welch writes regarding about the body on this side of the church, he says he uses the word church, but he also has another title. And I will quote that. The full measure of grace and glory is realized when we read in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Turn to Ephesians 1, first chapter 1, page 1762. And we'll see why I've written it down the way I have. Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23. And I can read the 21st, but I won't. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is, you notice that? His body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, I have tried to train myself to use the scriptural term, the church was his, which is his body. I'd like for you to do the same, because there's a reason when we get all the way down here. In the next few minutes, we'll point out a huge difference in just using the word one body and one body. We're bringing one body. There's a big difference between this one over here and that one over there. Now, first thing we're going to do, we're going to look. Scripture is very clear that these two bodies did not begin at the same time. The description of the one body of the Acts period, we could say, began with Israel and naturally was included in after the cross, while we know that in the first seven epistles that Paul wrote. Now, we know the church, which is his body, did not have its beginning until after Acts 28:28. So, therefore, we can determine they cannot be the same body. Now, so this morning we will look at other characteristics to prove they're not the same body. When the phrase one body in the Acts period is used as a metaphor, it is always used of believers who are in one in Christ. Now, the metaphor or the figures of speech here are used to enhance the sense of a passage. I believe the metaphor or the concept here that is being enhanced by the use of the term one body is the sense of oneness and of equality to those of the same body. I noticed that on your paper on the left-hand side. That is to say, the one body enhances the truth of relationship of believer to believer. Now, that's under the word concept there on your paper. Now, let's go over that again. The concept of the one body in the Acts period is a sense of oneness, same equality, and equal relationship between believer and believer of the body. Now, in a little bit, we will check several passages verifying this metaphor. But before we do, let's just jump over quickly to the other side and contrast the metaphor of the church, which is his body, with that of the one body of the Acts period. We will find the enhancement is the relationship of believers to what? The head, Christ Jesus. That's a big difference. One body is the Acts period, is believer to believer, while the church, which is his body, the believer relationship is to Christ Jesus the head. Now, that's a tremendous difference. You can tell right away. Those are not, don't take a right, rocket science to see there's a difference in those two bodies. Now let's go back to the left-hand side and check a couple of occurrences in the Acts period of the phrase one body. If you will, turn to Romans, the 12th chapter, page 1686. Romans 12, page 1686. And we're going to look at just verse 3 and 5. 12, 3 and 5. For I say, though the grace given unto me, every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, accordingly as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we will be many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Now, the key words here is not to think of himself more highly, or all members have not the same office. And another key word, so in we being many are one body. Now, to summarize that, the metaphor of the one body is used to enhance the concept, as I told you before, unity and equality of believer to believer. And it is shown to be true in this passage. I'd like for you to go back to that Tim read, 1 Corinthians, 12th chapter. We won't read it now, but he read it, and as you were listening here, starting with the very first verse, we find that as he read, the spiritual gifts were the topic from verse 1 clear through the end of the chapter. Why was Paul bringing up this topic? Well, let's turn to 1 Corinthians, which he read, the 12th chapter, and just look at one verse. Look at verse 25. Page 1717. 1 Corinthians 12, 25. Page 1717. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Well, so we see here then that Paul is telling these Corinthians that their spiritual gifts that they had then are meant to serve each other, not to divide them. They are one, they are equal to each other in Christ. Now, this is the people that had those spiritual gifts. As you know, we don't have them today. Now, let's go on a little bit further. When did the term or phrase or title that we have here on the left side of our board, one body, become a reality? Well, Pete told you, we read in the Old Testament that as some Gentiles did come to Jehovah, the God of Israel, those believing Gentiles to partake in Israel's dispensational blessings, as described in Leviticus, the 26th chapter, alone they had to be circumcised. Now that circumcision made them Israelites. And of course, they were equal participants in the covenants given to Israel. Now we have something different here in the Acts period. There was a brand new situation. Believing Gentiles were not required to be circumcised, and yet they were equal to Israel in terms of dispensational blessings. In other words, then, believing Gentiles during the Acts period were made equal participants to Israel in terms of dispensational blessings, not by becoming Jews, but as Gentiles. Now, we don't have time to read all the scriptures concerning the one body. There's a lot of them. You can read them at home. But the entire chapters 10 through 12 will give you much more than I've given you, and probably more than Pete gave you, on the one body over here. But I'd like for you to turn to 1 Corinthians 12 chapter again And just look at verse 13 and 14. I think you're on that same page. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Let's read 14. For the body is not one member, but many. Now let's turn to Galatians. On over a couple books, you know where it is. Page 1754, Galatians, the third chapter. I want to read 27 and 29. I think it's on page 1754. Reread 27 and 29. For as many of you has been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Now to summarize this here, we see the one body in the Acts period is a company of believers that have the realization of the promise made to who? Abraham. Paul uses the employment of the figure of a human body. He speaks of the hand. If you read those verses, he speaks of the foot. He speaks of the even uncomely parts of the body. But listen to this. But more importantly, Paul makes references to the eye, the ear, and the nose. The various functions of the head, same as he does with the rest of the body. Now, I need to repeat that again. Apparently tradition doesn't understand that he refers to the human body and names the parts, each of the parts. I don't think we're going to find that when we get over here on the other side to the body. We just described or seen the body that is not the same body that you and I know here this morning, the church, which is his body. This body that began at before and then one that began after Acts 28:28, we find which is his body, and Christ alone is the head. Now, in summary, we have a body or a group of believers with various spiritual gifts on the left-hand side. They had healing, they had miracles, they had prophecy, they had tongues and interpretations, and the body definitely was related to the promise made to who? Abraham. However diverse these gifts may be, they are all attributed to one source, Christ Jesus, and being many, all members of that one body. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians, if you will, 11th chapter and 23rd verse. I guess we don't have to, but if we've got a moment, we'll turn it. 1 Corinthians, 11th chapter, 23rd verse. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed. I don't know. That's not what I want to read. That's what I got written here. But I want to write, I'll say this, leave that verse out of there. If we read the rest of the chapter and go on down, that's why I wasn't going to read it. It talks about Paul instructing the body of believers about the Lord's Supper, if you'd read all the rest of it. These are scriptures that various denominations practice today. It is quite obvious they are not aware of two different bodies. They're practicing the body, they're practicing the rituals and so on of the one body, onto Israel here, that was promised to Abraham. A church that I go to down in Florida, they talk about the one body and they practice this. Then they're mixed up and over on the other side on some of the things they bring out. Well, in closing here, if we look at 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter that we read, we find that, as I've written on your piece of paper, the one body of the Acts period here is vitally inseparably connected with Moses, Israel, and Abraham. They have spiritual and miraculous gifts. However, as we turn our attention this morning now to the other side of your paper, the church, which is his body, we can read in Ephesians, the first verse, Ephesians, the first chapter, turn to that. Let's look at verse 22 and 23. We're going to see a big difference. And I read it just a little bit ago, but I want to read it one more time. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave to him to be the head over all things of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now we find, as a review here, this body is vitally, inseparably connected with the exaltation of the Savior far above all. Let's look at Ephesians 1:4. Back one page. Accordingly, as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now note here, this body, when I'm just referring to, which is his body, and his head was planned when? Before the foundation of this world, and was kept secret until revealed by the Apostle Paul. And it became a reality after Acts 28:28. We also read here in Ephesians 1:3. Let's back up a little bit to there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Immediately here then, we find a new program, do we not? The church, which is his body, that we have listed on your paper, has a sphere of blessing, S-P-H-E-R-E, sphere of blessing, called the heavenly places. We didn't see anything about that over here, did we? We find this body has a distinct place in the purpose of the ages, not to be confused with any promise made to Abraham. These heavenly places are further defined as far above all principality and power, far above all heavens. It is where Christ sitteth, at the right hand of God. Now this group will be raised and seated together in the heavenly places. To me, I hope you understand it, it is very obvious that these two bodies are not one of the same. Let's turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, 11th verse. And we'll read the 16th verses. I think that's on page 1766. Ephesians 4, 11 and 16. See if this sounds like the one body over here in the we've been speaking about. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Drop down to 16. From whom the whole body, now listen carefully, fittedly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You will note, this body is made up of believers that are what? To be joined, compacted together. We don't see anything about the eyes, ears, nose, feet, legs, do we? His body, and we are together to form his body, and we only got one head, and that's Christ. A big difference. Big difference in this description here. No bodily parts mentioned whatsoever. Now if we turn to Ephesians, the sixth chapter, over one more. Let's read 9 through 19. Ephesians 6, 9th verse. And ye masters do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with them. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take heed, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. This body of believers are admonished to put on the whole armor of God, so that we will be able to withstand against the principalities, against powers, against the spiritual wickedness of high places. You will notice this company of believers were not given any spiritual gifts. They were not given the gifts of healing. No miracles here. No prophesying of tongues and etc. Anybody that would try can see that there is something different here. These bodies are not the same. Now, as we compare how the one body came to be created with the church, which is his body, came to be created, we will see there is no commonality whatsoever. First, we had the body of the Acts period, and then we have the church, which is his body, came into being. Why? As a result of Israel, the favored, the separated nation, being put aside. They were put aside, and when Christ has another plan. Now, I told you before we ever started, our time's about up, but I realize this entire lesson probably should have been presented to some traditional church believers who would have thrown me out before I ever got started. But one reason that I wanted to bring it out again to you, we need to refresh our memories so that we continue to remember ourselves. There is no commonality whatsoever between these two bodies. And most traditional churches have them mixed together. They read them all just as though it was one thing. Now, I think if I could talk to some of them and put the thing that Pete had here one or two Sundays and then add what you got to them, they would certainly see that there is a difference. But that can't be done. We know that God had a plan. He had a purpose for both bodies. And he still does. And in the future, it'll be the new heavens and the new earth. I maybe made a mistake on the bottom of your sheet. You will note on the bottom of your paper what I believe happens when these two bodies are certainly, God had a purpose for them, and they were different. And when they mix them together, I maybe made a mistake and said hundreds there. I don't know what I said, hundreds or, it certainly makes a big difference here, different creeds. And to me, the reason I bring it out this morning about the two bodies, I believe that by mixing this all up and having all the different creeds, it becomes very confusing to the unsaved individual. He doesn't understand. How in the world do I find Christ? One church tells me this. One says you got to be baptized. One says you got to do this. One says you got to do something else. And I think it's one of the reasons because they don't understand that God had a purpose in the two things. They're completely, totally, there's no commonality at all between them two bodies. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee again for many blessings you give us. We thank thee. for the Holy Spirit to come to hear the will of us. Help us understand thy word. Pray that as we go about the week, that we'll be good witnesses for thee. And pray for those that might be sick, give them comfort. And we pray for Pete and Rosemary, bring them back to next Sunday. For God, Christ's sake, we do praise. Amen.